Hi, this is Martin Allen. Part of this interview is Mad Dog, part of it is Martin Allen, two different identities. You are listening to the podcast, which is the best podcast I've done today.
The first drink of the day! The first drink of the day! The first drink of the day! The first drink of the day!
Hi, this is Simon from the Football Pubcast. Earlier on Friday, I had the opportunity to have a chat on the phone with Mad Dog himself, Martin Allen, who is currently out of football management, but he's not wasting his time outside the game. He's still involved in the game, heading up a new X-Factor-style football training camp called Pro FC, and it's geared towards giving youngsters a genuine shot at the big time. I had a chat with Martin about Pro FC and how he was getting on with that, as well as picking his brains over various things like West Ham's fortunes at the moment, their move to the Olympic Stadium, one of his old clubs, Brentford, what he thinks should happen at QPR, and who he'd like to take to the pub to have a chat about football with. And here's what he had to say.
First off, obviously, you're a legend at West Ham United. What's your take on the situation there? Obviously, they're struggling down at the bottom of the Premier League at the moment.
I don't agree with you on both counts, to be honest. Certainly not a legend. Billy Bonds, Trevor Brown are legends. I was a wholehearted, determined player. Hit a few good shots and a few good goals. Got too many yellow cards, a couple of red cards, and made people laugh. So that's not a legend. I certainly won't have a stand or a statue. Maybe something in the hot dog bar, but nothing else. The next point, West Ham struggling. No, I certainly don't agree with that. If you look at the current form table over the last 3 months, West Ham are just above the middle. So over the last 3 months, when some players have got back to fitness, they've recruited some good players. They're in fine form and they're doing well, and they won't go down.
I was about to say, you're confident they'll pull clear and avoid the drop, yeah?
Well, yes, they've got a difficult month ahead of them. But if they do make losses, it's not the time to hang people.
Yeah.
It's the time to support them. So no, it's all to play for.
One of the big stories around the club is the possibility of them leaving the bowling ground up in Styx and moving across town to the Olympic Stadium. Is that a good thing or a bad thing, do you think, for West Ham as a football club?
It's a good thing. Of course, when I went to the last game, I think I played Liverpool, I sat there and you start to realise, you know, this is not going to be here in the future. But for the long term, over the next 10, 20, 50 years, probably 100 years, a new stadium, purpose-built, can operate 24/7, every day of the year, is important. And to get bigger attendances, it's important for your club to be up at the top level in the Premier League.
Sure.
West Ham have got it. For the time being, for the moment, it's going to be difficult. When they leave, of course it is.
Yeah.
But it's the start of something new, and it's that is the way that it's going. And West Ham have got a great opportunity, and they've got to go for gold.
And with obviously, you've got plenty of managerial experience managing down in sort of League One, League Two level. How would you feel if you were a Leighton Orient fan with this news?
I'd be worried. I've stated repeatedly it's a must-do for West Ham, but also there's a lot of concern for me personally because I do like the people at Orient. I love their supporters tucked in there in East London. They do follow a Division 1, maybe times a Division 2 club. Their loyalty and love for Leighton Orient. And I'd hate it to have any long-term effects on that club. And hopefully something can be worked out that they are... I don't know, not included, but they don't get affected as what, you know, people are suggesting it could do.
Yeah. One of the lads on the show, he's a bit of a cynic, but I think he makes an interesting point. What's your take on the ownership situation at West Ham? Dan, who he's of the view that they've come in, they've seen this Olympic Stadium possibility on the horizon, and they're basically in it to make a quick buck and then establish the club in the Olympic Stadium and then sell on and move off afterwards. Would you agree with that, or do you think that they're in it for the long haul?
Well, you described that person as a cynic. Probably better to describe them as one of them psycho people that can see into the future. How he can make those claims is beyond me. It might be his opinion, but it's not based on fact. And I hear too much of all these cynical people that are all looking on the negative of everything in life. And don't bother with them, to be honest. Just deal with the facts and comment on the facts and the rest of it. It's just, as I say, pie in the sky.
Yeah. Okay, I'll make sure he hears that.
I hope he does. If he can teach me into the future, I'd love to meet him.
Yeah.
Get me the lottery numbers for next week.
Since your playing days at West Ham and QPR, you've gone on and had a successful managerial career. Obviously, I think probably the time that you've arguably been the most successful was at Brentford. And they've just recently had a change of manager there with Nicky Forster taking over. If he gave you a call and asked you for a bit of advice on how he can make a success of himself as a manager at Griffin Park, what sort of advice would you be able to give him, bearing in mind it's his first ever managerial role?
Well, Nicky Forster is a very bright, intelligent, articulate. He's a sponge of information, asking questions, always had an opinion as a player. I was coach at Reading when he played there. Nicky will do very well. I'm sure it will be an asset when he does pick the phone up to people and seek their opinions of in testing times and also through good times. What advice would I give him? I don't know. I don't know what the questions would be, so I couldn't really give him the answer to those questions because I don't really know the questions. Okay. Not like your mate Dan, who can see into the future.
Well, yeah, there is that. There is that. Obviously, at the moment, you're working on a really interesting new project called Pro FC. Tell us a bit about that, how it came into being, and how it's progressing.
It's been unbelievable, really. From an idea of watching X Factor, Britain's Got Talent, and the wave and the crest of the current British population is they love all these shows. And people want an opportunity. Perhaps it's something to do with the recession and people finding it difficult financially. Maybe it's their chance to break away from financial difficulty, to get out of difficult lives that they're in and finding life tough. I wanted to do it in football, and I set my mind to it. I've worked probably 7 days a week for the last 4 or 5 months. I didn't know how to buy an email address. How do I get a telephone number? Where do I get a PO box number? I knew nothing about computers. Completely had all those things, all of my life done for me, secretaries and assistants and people to always help. I wanted to give people a professional footballer experience. It's 5 days and 4 nights residential. Come and be a pro footballer. We take over a university and I make it into a football club with a kit room, office, presentation room, our own restaurant. All the players have their own bedrooms. They will have their own training kit. We do really try and do it properly. If they're good enough to go and trial, then I've got enough contacts in management to take these players to trial at football clubs. We've got 2 going to Tottenham next week and 2 going to MK Dons next week. And the week after, we've got 2 going to Dagenham and 2 going to, what's the other club? Wickham.
Yeah.
But they've also, and in reality, you know, let's face it, let's be honest with everybody, the possibilities of finding them is going to be difficult. So we've also worked on the team behind the team. We've had help from the Football Association with refereeing and coaching. We've had help from Manchester United on the commercial side of staying in football. We've had help from Scout 7, which are probably the biggest scouting organisation in this country about scouting and recruitment. We've had help from Prozone, who are the biggest and the number one in player and team analysis in this country, which is big business now,
yeah.
And how people can stay in football in those jobs. And with education, courses, the degrees that people can get from Solent University, who have got a fantastic curriculum for people to work and study, to stay and work in football. So we've tried to cover it right across the board. Trials, pro footballer experience, and also job awareness if they want to stay in football, if they're not quite good enough.
It sounds like a fantastic a fantastic, well, scheme isn't really the word, is it? You know, it's a project, it's much bigger than that. And a friend and colleague of mine, Hugo Langton, actually is involved in it with you, I think. He's one of your coaches.
Hugo came on to as an assistant manager.
Yeah.
I took a little bit of a gamble, really. I opened it up to people that take football teams. They don't play football so much now, but they're coaches or managers.
Yeah.
That they could mentor a professional manager.
Yeah.
So working up at Warwick, we had Kevin Blackwell, Phil Parkinson, Andy Ritchie, Simon Davey, Phil Parkinson and Steve Staunton. And we had six assistant managers to mentor them from Monday to Friday,
yeah.
Watching all their coaching sessions, helping them with the planning, preparation and organisation to try and win a game on the Friday. And for people like Hugo, it gave them an insight into what it is like to work in management in professional football.
Yeah.
And that was another side of it that we hadn't really thought of. But all those six fellas working with people like that, they just had the time of their lives. And it's not a course, like, it was how they do it at the sharp end. It's like taking your driving lessons with the with BSM or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
And then actually leaving the driving lessons and getting in the Ferrari or whatever he drives with Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
You were right in the fast lane doing everything. Fantastic experience from.
Pro FC, I'm guessing that's taking pretty much all your time at the moment. Is a return to management something that you still got in the back of your mind, or are you 100% sort of involved in Pro FC, or is there the chance that you can combine the two further down the line?
Well, as I said, it's been 5 months of 7 days a week, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I've taken staff on contracts. I'm obligated to those staff. They've been dedicated, committed, 100% behind the idea. They've worked tremendously hard. One of them's left the job to come and work here for me to do this.
Yeah.
A couple of them I've taken from, you know, just giving them break careers. I'm committed to them, and I'm going to make sure that the company stays going, flourishes and develops. With management, it should be in place really now for it to run itself.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second, did I say?
Yes, okay.
So, it's all in the position now for it to run itself and evolve and develop long term with the quality people that we've got working here.
Yeah.
So, a return to football management is one day a possibility. There have been some good jobs come up that I have been interested in. But there's some other jobs that have come up where when you hear about some of the stuff that happens behind the scenes, then you've got to question your mentality. If that's how they want their club to be run, then it's not for me. And I don't want to get back into that where I can't actually manage and manage how I want to manage, if you know what I'm saying.
One of the things, and this is a bit of a question from my own sort of my own thoughts, really. I'm a Gillingham fan.
Oh yeah.
And I believe you were not far off getting the job at Priestfield in the not too distant past. You were certainly interviewed for it, I think. How was that? How did you find that experience?
I like Paul Scully. I like him. I didn't have an interview. Spoke to him on the phone, but I think his mind was made up what he was going to do with regards to management position when Mark Stimpson left. But yes, I did speak to him and I did have a chat with him. He's a good bloke. I really like him. And Andy Essenthal has done a great job. How did I find it? Well, it's like any other conversation I have with people, you know, normally get on quite well with them.
Yeah.
And he's a decent bloke, and I'd say he's a good friend of mine. But it wasn't to be. And I'm really delighted for him and for Gillingham and for all their supporters that Andy Essenthal is doing a really good job with Ian Endon. I'm delighted for both of them.
One of the things we do on our show, because it's called The Pubcast, we normally go down the pub and record it in the pub. If you were going down to the pub for a pint and a chat about football, and you could take three managers or players with you, just have a sit round a table and just have a bit of a chinwag about football, who would you choose to take with you, assuming they'd all accept?
Well, they would accept if I invited them. No, I'd like... The first one I'd like to take would be Juice, that forward that's now playing up at Glasgow Rangers. I'd like to meet him for an hour. second one I'd like to meet in the same conversation with Juve would be Balotelli, that Italian kid up at Man City. I'd love to have an hour with him and all.
Yeah.
Third one I'd like to meet, take along with me, would be... Who would be my next one? Let me just think about that for a second. Give me some options, and I might, because you just sprung that on me.
Typically, when you talk to managers, or you know, you see managers asked, they normally Sir Alex always gets mentioned because of his experience and to pick
that's
things.
Boring, all that.
Well, that's it. I know
all his stuff. God bless him.
But I mean, are there any sort of managers in sort of the lower leagues in particular that you think this guy's doing a really good job and he doesn't get the respect he deserves, or this is a guy who's been down there, he's served his apprenticeship in the lower leagues, he deserves a break in the big time?
Oh, there's lots of those. There's lots of those managers that don't get the breaks. They go to bigger clubs. Bigger clubs at the Championship, even the Premiership, they're blind to it.
Mm.
They think the clubs down there don't even exist. They don't even know they exist.
Yeah.
Some of those managers are more than capable of doing jobs at higher levels, but they don't get opportunities. Eddie Howe's just had one from Bournemouth.
Yeah.
Fully deserved. But we're going back to who's the third person, and my persons are not normal persons. You know, everyone's going to say Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
I've got Juve, I've got Balotelli. Who else would be a character that I'd like to sit down with and eyeball them? Who else do I not kind of... I don't like them, but I'd like to talk to them.
Mm.
Come on, you were supposed to come
well,
up.
Well, I mean, what's your take on, I mean, like, you know, your Rooneys and your Ashley Coles of the world, who amazing footballers, but they've had sort of external issues that seem to have...
Everyone has external issues.
Yeah.
You find me a person that has an external
this
issue
is true,
in their life.
Have you ever seen
and
a...
And then we're all in the nut house. Everyone has issues because they're footballers. They get brought out into the open. And that naps me off.
Have you ever seen a player bring a gun into training? Is that something you've ever experienced in your managerial career? Anyone bringing in any kind of weaponry into the club?
But no one knows what happens. It's all been kept quiet.
Yeah.
What happened when it was brought in? What type of day it was brought in? Is it right to bring it in? Was it, you know, loads of questions you could ask. Everyone's made drawn their conclusions about all that without knowing all the facts. As a manager, I don't do that. I find out the facts and deal with the facts.
Yeah.
Is it right? Well, we don't know. It might have been said that they're all going to go in as a free day and everyone can mess about in the back of their training ground and shoot Coke cans from 100 yards to see who knocked over the Coke cans. Might have been an innocent accident for all we know.
Yeah.
I'm only playing devil's advocate with it because it naps me off when everybody draws conclusions when it's quite clearly biased reporting or we don't know all the facts. And, you know, when you're making decisions, you know, you can't do that. My third person to go in the pub would be Joey Barton.
Yeah.
I'd like Joey Barton, who I think has done remarkable in his life and his career after the trouble and hassle and not very good times that he's had as a person on and off the field. I'd like him to come along with me, to meet Juve and Balotelli. And talk some sense and see if we can get them to on the straight road. That's what I would like. That would be fun.
That would be interesting. That'd be a good one to be a fly on the wall for as well, just to see how that conversation panned out.
Yeah.
The four of us who do the show, we each support a different team. One of the lads supports Arsenal, one of them supports Manchester United, one of them is a QPR fan, and it's two of us who support Gillingham. Would you be able, in a couple of sentences each, to give us your take on each of those clubs and how you feel they're getting on this season?
Manchester United will win the league only if Vidic stays fit. He is the best player and the most outstanding player in the Premier League for me at this moment in time. If he's not fit, Manchester United could struggle. If he's fit, they will win the league. What was the next club?
Arsenal.
Oh, it gets on my nerves when all these people keep saying Arsene Wenger's this and they've got to move on and all that sort of stuff. He's run that club, not only as a football club, but as a business. He's kept on level financial ground. He's developed a fantastic brand of football, which is great to watch. His young players are getting stronger. If Vidic is not fit, Arsenal could win it. But I doubt it because I think mentally they could be too physically exhausted. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
mentally exhausted equals physically exhausted.
Yeah.
Keep supporting him, keep following him. If he left Arsene Wenger and replaced with somebody else, you would be complaining and moaning just like all the Cheltenham fans were about Alan Kurbishley and now what's happened to Cheltenham. Next one, Gillingham. I love people that support all those lower clubs. The loyalty that they have towards those clubs rather than going to watch the big glamorous clubs. I love watching football at non-league and lower levels. They're, to me, the real people, not the prawn sandwiches. They like pucker pies and Bovril, same as me. And I think they're the lifeblood of the game, to be honest, those sorts of people.
Cool. And QPR, finally, one of your old clubs.
QPR, if I was that bitter old geezer with about £2 billion, I would, once they've got promoted, and they will go up this year as champions, if I had £2 billion like he's got in his bank account, I would go out and spend about 100 million of my £2 billion and try and turn QPR with about 5 new top quality players. They ain't going to make no money and they keep losing it, but they're making more than that a day probably.
Yeah.
And have a real run at getting into the Champions League in their first season and have a real good, happy time with turning QPR into a Champions League club. Wouldn't that be fun?
It'd be interesting, wouldn't it? So you sort of saying try and do as Man City, or try and do what Man City are trying to do. Just throw some serious money at some serious players.
Oh yeah,
but perhaps
flash
avoid
the cash.
But perhaps avoid the Mario Balotellis of this world.
Yeah, I don't like him. Yeah, go out and spend some real money. Chuck some wages around. Keep Neil Warnock as the manager because he's a top quality manager.
Yeah.
And watch QPR upset. They're only ever going to get the same sort of crowds at QPR, but it would sell out week in, week out, challenge all the big boys. And to see a club like that come through, wouldn't that be amazing? Upset all those big boys that are up above them in the Premier League.
Thank you very much. That's much appreciated. Thanks very much for your time, Martin. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.